Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1. We are absolutely packed. I don't remember an early March with this much stuff going on. Joy Taylor, who's got almost Laker colors on today, signaling the end.
They could be Steelers colors, too.
Yeah, they could.
Maybe I'm just hoping for spring to finally get here.
Yeah, finally. Great to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You ever watch a motivational speaker like a Tony Robbins, a politician? Those things called TED Talks? And people are on a stage, and they do that for a reason. Psychologically, you and I are more likely to listen to somebody who's above us. You see this with military leaders. You see it with public speakers. You see it with politicians. And there's a reason they do that. You look up. It's almost worship psychologically. You're more willing to listen. But the most powerful moment is when one of those public speakers, I mean, the Pope in St. Peter's Square, right? Out of a window, up there, looking up. Most powerful moment, though, is when the politician, the public speaker, Tony Robbins, comes off the stage and engages with you. He joins you. He is now one of you. Tony Robbins does that with his speeches. About 45 minutes of rah, 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 then about 45 minutes to an hour in the arena, on the floor, connecting with you. That's what the great ones do. The great politicians do it. The great speakers do it. The great TED talkers do it. LeBron James has been the best player in the NBA, I'd say, for about 13 years. He has been on a stage. Players look up to him. Players listen to him. All eyes are on him. They follow him politically. They follow him financially. They follow him professionally. But the downside to being on that stage is all eyes are on you, and there is a great burden and a great responsibility. LeBron James this year has never stepped off the stage. He's had a lousy year as a leader. Not as a player. He's still very good. He failed to connect. He failed to engage his young teammates. He failed to mobilize, galvanize the locker room. He never made a true effort after the injury to connect with Luke Walton. One of the things we always hear about Tom Brady, every time we bring somebody on the show that's played with Tom Brady, what do they always say? He walks up to the rookies. Hi, I'm Tom Brady. And they're like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I have your jersey in my bedroom as a kid. Tom is stepping off the stage. He's connecting with you. I noticed it first with Obama about 10 years ago. I'm like, man, does that guy get it? It's not just about the stage. It's about stepping off it. Do a selfie. Do a high five. A hug. The great ones do it and they get it. LeBron's never stepped off the stage. He's always been a great player. And I've always loved LeBron. And I've always defended him to the core that he's actually a very good leader. Players follow him. They should. He's usually right. But he had a bad year as a leader. And that's okay. He hadn't had a bad year as a player. LeBron's still great. But in Los Angeles, it's been a conveyor belt of side projects. I've yet to see a Laker in any of them. Not even a walkthrough for Kyle Kuzma in a movie. It's been joining other stars. Hi, I'm up here in the stratosphere. Look at me. I'm a mogul. Yeah, I get it. I get the mogul stage. I started talking about it years ago. I get it. The show-off stage, the win a Grammy stage, I'm kind of a mogul now. I defend it. I like it. But this has been a really, really bad year for LeBron as a leader. His imagery with Luke Walton, distancing himself on the bench and in timeouts. That moment against Phoenix when he inbounded the ball and threw it off the backboard. Any other player in the league could have done that. But LeBron did it for the first time in his career. It was not a coincidence. LeBron, instead of leading, was basically sending a message. I'm done. The problem is LeBron was done about the All-Star break. Great player, great guy, a lot of great qualities, great guys around him, great brand, great net worth, great mind. There's a lot of great with LeBron. He's a lousy leader this year. Got to step off the stage, dude. Got to be one of the peeps, dude. Take a lesson from the football guy who's got six titles. And by the way, I'm often critical of Michael Jordan. But I always felt Michael Jordan, when he was with the Bulls, he was all in. In fact, sometimes I felt Jordan was rallying his teammates against management. But he was always all in with the players. Can't just be on the stage. Sometimes got to high five and do a selfie with your followers. Let me segue to this big football story. Oh, my Lord. Antonio Brown is just talking. He can't stop talking. Larry Fitzgerald is one of my favorite NFL players. He is on a short list of the smartest, most influential professional athletes in the National Football League. He talks, people listen. He came out this week and said, Antonio Brown, does he realize that he had it pretty good with Big Ben? Big Ben is imperfect, by the way. But you see this all the time. When people get divorced, there is obviously anger in the first couple of weeks, maybe first couple of months. But after a while, if you keep bad-mouthing your ex, it's no longer about her. It's about you. You know, you get a divorce, her fault, she did that, she's terrible. But after about 4 or 5 months of that, your friends start looking at you like, dude, you're a loser, get over it. She's not that bad. We know her. We like her. Antonio Brown spent the past couple weeks bad-mouthing Mike Tomlin, Hall of Famer, Big Ben, Hall of Famer, best deep ball thrower in the league. And this week, watched him on The Shop. That's one of LeBron's side projects. And he was all about bad-mouthing the coach and bad-mouthing the quarterback.
So the last week of the season, we going into the final game. We got to win, and we got to hope the Ravens don't win so we could advance to the playoffs. I'm a little banged up, so I meet with Coach Tomlin. I'm telling him, like, hey, man, I'm a little banged up, so I'm going to need a little time to get right. So he like, if you banged up, man, just, you know, you could just go home. So I'm like, damn, that's where we at?
Damn, how we get there?
I don't have an ego, because, like, bro, I'm just trying to win. We lose a game, he like, damn, AB should have ran the better route.
Why would Ben do that?
That's the type of guy he is. He feel like he the owner. Bro, you threw this to the D-line, man. How the I'm going to run the better route? You need to give me a better ball.
Okay, so in that room, everybody around Antonio Brown makes him feel like, man, you're landing punches. It's her fault. It doesn't matter anymore. That's landing on you. Every GM and owner in this league, with all the good quarterbacks who can make you a first ballot Hall of Famer, are out. Three teams are now interested. Lousy Washington, dysfunctional Oakland, and unpredictable and usually mediocre Tennessee. Colt McCoy, good luck with that. I mean, there are stages of this stuff. And I get divorces are ugly. But you're way past the finger-pointing stage. You think now you're landing punches. Yeah, I am telling people Mike Tomlin's no good. He actually is pretty good. I'm telling Big Ben's a jerk. Yeah, maybe he's a jerk, but he's a Hall of Famer. Like, at some point in the divorce, okay, you divvy up the furniture, you hire lawyers, but if you keep bad-mouthing people, all your buddies in the room are like, yeah, you nail it. But it lands on you. You look needy. You look mean-spirited. You look insecure. And that may land in the room with LeBron and all the fellas, but I'm telling you how it's landing around the NFL is, no thanks. Pass. Not interested. Let him go elsewhere. Oh, by the way, in a separate interview this weekend, he said, but he doesn't even need football, really.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
Would Antonio Brown's agent please sit him down, stop talking, stop bad-mouthing, stop finger-pointing? You are not landing punches. You're not. No matter what your buddies are telling you, you're not landing punches here. You look needy, insecure, individual over team. Me over we, it's a horrible look. But, you know, it gets big laughs in the room.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's just a lot of smoke now on a story in the NFL. The number one pick in the NFL is Arizona. Last year, they went and got a quarterback, Josh Rosen, who I like. I don't think he's going to be a superstar. I don't think he has Sam Darnold's trajectory. I don't see him as a great NFL quarterback, though I think he throws a great football. Kyler Murray is a kid out of Oklahoma. Fast, nimble, dynamic, athletic, really tiny, which worries me. There is a report now that Cliff Kingsbury is telling people the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray, and they're going to move Josh Rosen. Now, that could be a smokescreen. There's a lot of people think they're just baiting other people to move up and take the top pick and give them a bunch of picks. That's certainly possible. I do not believe that is true. I believe in the last 48 hours, from the calls I've made and the people I've talked to and the stories I've read, I believe that Kyler Murray and Arizona are going to make it happen. So that's where I believe this is going to work. And let me tell you why. Is that you have a split building in Arizona. The building split. Half are on Rosen, half like him, half don't. It's the same thing Sean McVay faced in L.A. He shows up and the building was split on Jared Goff. And Sean McVay said, no. We can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. And when he went all in, the building went all in. Turn it around. Mitch Trubisky, Chicago. Matt Nagy came in. Split building. Split building on Mitch Trubisky. A lot of people didn't like it. Matt Nagy, the coach, said, no. We can win our division with Mitch Trubisky. The coach has to go all in on the young quarterback. And Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona's GM, they're all getting run out of the building in 2 years if Cliff Kingsbury doesn't win. So Kingsbury has to be all in on the quarterback. McVay went all in on Goff, united the building. Matt Nagy went all in on Trubisky. I'm not a huge fan, but united the building. The worst place to be in the NFL is a split building. Half the people, Baltimore dealt with this with Joe Flacco last couple of years. Building was split. Then John Harbaugh said, you know what? I'm going to go with Lamar. And the building was still kind of, I'm not sure. And then they won like 7 games. And then they got in the playoffs. Everybody's like, oh, building's united. Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. I can tell you, Cliff Kingsbury, from all these stories, cannot unify the building with Josh Rosen. Doesn't mean Josh Rosen doesn't fit elsewhere. But Cliff Kingsbury knows he can unite the entire facility with Kyler Murray. And this is key. You've seen it now with two other great young coaches, Sean McVay and Matt Nagy. The worst place you want to be is a fractured locker room. New England Patriots, after that Super Bowl, for about 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, had a fractured building. And Belichick went out of his way. Okay, Garoppolo, get him out of the building. Get him out of the building. Gronk, re-sign him. Okay, you, even the Patriots. We saw what two teams in the NFL this year have talent and underachieved. Pittsburgh, split building. Green Bay, split building. Half Aaron, half McCarthy. So I believe the way to unite this facility in Arizona, they are scrambling right now. You got half the guys like Rosen, half the Murray, Cliff, his vision, his perfect quarterback brings them all under the same roof, all going in the same direction. It doesn't matter if you have world-class players. Big Ben's a Hall of Famer. That building right now, a lot of AB guys, a lot of Le'Veon guys, a lot of Ben guys. Can't win. Green Bay, a lot of Aaron guys, a lot of Mike McCarthy guy. Can't win. Can't. Football's too hard. This is not the NBA where Golden State just got more good players than everybody. Doesn't work that way. New England's probably got the 9th best roster in the NFL, maybe 7th. You cannot win when you got multiple points of view in the NFL. The league's too hard, practice too hard, film study too hard, games too hard, winning too hard, preparation too hard. Cliff and Kyler brings them all together. All together. And by the way, Jordan Palmer, who I trust as much as anybody when it comes to breaking down young quarterbacks, Carson Palmer's brother, He said, I can see this Arizona thing. I'm reading the stuff too, Colin. I can see it happening.
I think there's something there. I have no inside information of anything that's going on. I'm just a fan watching, sitting here going, it makes a lot of sense. Does it make more sense than building it around the guy you took last year? I don't know. I'm not in that building. But it certainly makes sense, because if somebody believes that Kyler is the perfect person to run their thing, and the data that they have is he ran something similar at the other level, that's the only data you're going to have, then I think it becomes a real discussion.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I love the draft. You love the draft. I like cars spinning out. I like tire fires. I think this is going to be fantastic.
I mean, it'll be a much must watch.
Absolutely.
I have a little sneaky suspicion there could be some high profile moves made the day of the draft.
I got a
Kyler, might be kind of setting up for.
I got a Le'Veon thing. I got an AB thing. I got an Odell Beckham thing. I got a Kyler Murray thing. Yeah, listen, you and I like free agency as much as a regular season in the NBA. This is fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, here we go on a Monday where Colin's right, where Colin is wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Larry Fitzgerald, one of the smartest professional athletes in America, one of the greatest professional athletes in America, one of the most respected National Football League players. Well, what do you know? He doesn't like what Antonio Brown is doing either, publicly trolling Pittsburgh.
He's Mr. Big Chess is a good friend of mine, but I don't think he's going about it the right way, personally. You know, to be able to play with an all-time quarterback like he's able to play with, I don't think he understands how good he has it. You know, it could get tough out there.
It can get really tough. By the way, the two times Larry has popped Carson Palmer, Kurt Warner, you need a quarterback in this league. Right now, Washington is leading on AB. Their quarterback's Colt McCoy. Antonio Brown, dude, you're getting a divorce. Okay, hire a lawyer. Stop publicly berating your ex. You're now hurting yourself, and you're a great player.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I predicted the Lakers would win 48 games with LeBron. And I said they'd be about somewhere between a 3 or 4 or 5 seed, about a 4 or 5 seed. They're on pace to win 38 games. Not much better than last year when Lonzo led them, and they ain't making the playoffs. And by the way, I was told over the weekend that when the season started with LeBron, the chemistry was really, really good October, November in the building. I am also told by the same source it has deteriorated massively since Clutch Sports, Anthony Davis rumors. Yesterday, Kyle Kuzma came out and said, something is wrong here. What is wrong is when you're the world's best player, or certainly most viewed, you got to step off the stage and put your arms around the little guy and the head coach occasionally. And LeBron hasn't. I didn't think this was a team capable of anything more than a 4 or 5 seed, win a playoff series, and then go home and then regroup and find another star. But it is worse on all accounts than I thought it would be.
Where Colin was right?
Well, what do you know? The Rockets are better when Chris Paul leads the offense. They are now 12-0. 12-0 are the Rockets when Chris Paul has 10 assists. Listen, James Harden, I get it. I get he gets the headlines. I get he's the scorer. But this team can beat the Warriors. Not saying they will, but they can when Chris Paul is setting the tempo. Folks, the NBA is not just about the best players. When you get into the playoffs, it's about the best judgment and the best decisions. James Harden's going to get his. He's just too damn talented not to. But they are 5-0 the last 2 weeks with Chris Paul handling the ball more than Harden. 17 points, 10 assists. And the offense now is run through Chris Paul, and they look really, really good in Houston.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boston, it's just not getting better. I mean, they're getting now hammered. And I thought, okay, you had Gordon Hayward and a healthy Kyrie Irving to a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals and the emergence of Jason Tatum. This team's going to get to the finals. And this team could beat the Warriors if all things work out. Folks, it is a mess. It is just, it's bad. And they're getting thumped at home. It leads me to believe, And this is certainly possible. Sometimes relationships don't click. But I can't believe Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens are watching this. And their rebuilding effort has been terrific. This is the first blip. And it is a bad, bad look. So I never thought it would get this bad. Kyrie's too talented. And I always thought him, you know, a little needy with LeBron and stuff. A little bit, but that's the world. You know, I live in a needy world. I get it, but it's way worse than I thought.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, story came out last week. Todd Gurley, he's got arthritis. Ah, now we have a reason. I never bought into this. No, they just want to share the ball. Just want to loosen his load a little bit. Once I saw him on a bike in the NFC Championship, like on the sidelines, and that's with Cooper Kupp out, and I'm thinking to myself, timeout. Okay, stop. Stop peeing on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, come on. Give me a break here. There's a reason. Give me a story. Oh, now we have a story. It's not about sharing the ball with CJ Anderson. It's not about trying to get him rested for the playoffs. Oh, Todd Gurley's got a medical problem. Todd Gurley has arthritis in his knee. And it's a real problem. And if you're Les Snead and you run the franchise, kind of freaks you out a little bit. Because he's taken a real toll running the football. And all of a sudden in October, he no longer ran the football. And we were told there was a bunch of different reasons for it. And I didn't buy any of them. I said, there's something going on here. I kept saying, there's something going on. And I don't know. But I'm not buying what you're telling me. And now I am buying what I'm hearing. Story's out. Todd Gurley's got an issue medically, arthritis in his knee.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought baseball GMs had finally figured it out. These 10-year contracts are absurd. I mean, first of all, you're signing about a 27-year-old guy to a 10-year contract. The last 4 years of the deal are awful. And then the Phillies went out and not only signed a 10-year deal, they signed a 13-year contract for Bryce Harper. By the way, there's no opt-out. There's no trade clause. Oh, good hell. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, I know the Phillies have been bad for years. And in the Northeast corridor, the Yankees and the Red Sox get a lot of love. And the natural playoff team, and they're trying to make a big splash. But this is just awful. I mean, I'm happy for Bryce Harper. This is an awful contract for an organization. Your last 5 years of this contract, even if Bryce gave you, let's say, six great years and two really good years, and then you start the erosion, you're only 60% through the contract. No opt-outs, no trade clause. This is bad. And by the way, it's going to put enormous pressure on a really good kid. And, you know, if he has a couple of 0-for-4s and strikes out a few times, here come the boo birds. Philadelphia is not kind. You know, they eat their own. So good luck there.
Where Colin was right.
Well, LeBron dropped an album with 2 Chainz this weekend. I always said he's in the mogul stage of his career. I think I'm the first guy that coined that. For all superstars, music, entertainment, movies, sports, there's 3 stages. There's the let me show off my talent stage. Then there's the let me win an Oscar, a Grammy, or a title stage. And the third stage, the mogul stage, which I consider doing mogul stuff and building my brand. Which, by the way, I'm for. I get it. I totally get it. Now, I think LeBron's completely lost balance this year. It's a little too much mogul. It's not, you know, running to Instagram to tell you about his individual stats as the team gets hammered is not my cup of tea. But we did tell you when he came to Los Angeles that 8 or 9, like, the richest people in town were like, we want to do business, and this is what it is. It's a little out of balance to me, but it does make you think where basketball is in his life. Because right now, he doesn't seem to be engaged as much as I'd like on that front.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought Nick Foles would be a guy teams fight over. I saw Nick Foles play in college. Nick Foles, to me, was always a nice NFL backup, solid kid, certainly not spectacular. Apparently there's like 3 teams really interested. Jacksonville's the leading candidate. There's a part of me that thinks Philadelphia has just got a bunch of really good coaches. And some of this is Nick Foles is going to leave these Philadelphia guys and it's not going to be as good. But I'm pretty good at guessing what quarterback strengths and weaknesses. I'm not perfect, but Nick Foles, a free agent, a couple, 2-3 teams interested, and teams like Jacksonville's got players. And gotta be honest, I didn't see this one coming. I didn't see him beating Brady in the Super Bowl either, but I didn't see this coming.
Where Colin was right.
Dallas Cowboys, I've been on this for a couple years now. You keep making fun of them, keep making fun of Jerry, and they keep showing you they know what they're doing. They dumped Dez, perfect time. found Dak in the fourth round.
Fourth round.
They went and got Amari Cooper for a first rounder. What a home run that was. And over the weekend, last Thursday, they signed Jason Witten. And I know a lot of you are saying, Colin, he's old. Be very careful about that. Antonio Gates was old, and the Chargers brought him back, and he made a huge difference. And we all buried Gronk this year. And then he got to that Kansas City game, and he got to that Super Bowl, and Gronk looked really good. Remember, teams play zone a lot in the NFL. Witten can find openings. Great hands. Not a burner, but you're kidding yourself if you don't think Jason Witten is going to be crucial on big third downs for Dak Prescott. This is a very good young roster, the Cowboys once again proving. You roll your eyes and you talk about what the Cowboys can't do. I look at an organization, kind of knows what they're doing. Giants are dysfunctional. Washington, Oakland, Tennessee, Miami, Tennessee, Jets. Yeah, a lot of dysfunction in this league. I don't see it with the Cowboys. Jerry, Steven, know what they're doing. I thought it was a really good move.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you like.
Joel Klatt.
Hey, hey.
Fox Sports, college football voice, was at the NFL Combine. Do you buy? When at the NFL Combine, by the way, is where all the execs go.
Yeah.
And they stay up at night and steak and shake it, and they go out and they talk, have a couple cocktails. It's not just watching players. When you're at the Combine, it's about trades. Yeah. It's a hiring. It's really an NFL convention.
Yeah, it basically is. You're right.
So do you believe Arizona and Kyler Murray is a thing?
I do. At this point, I'm going to be more shocked if Arizona doesn't take him at number one than I would be with any other outcome.
Wow.
So my jaw will hit the floor come draft night, round one, if Arizona doesn't take Kyler Murray number one overall.
You've been very... very fond of Kyler Murray.
And rightly so.
Tiny Kyler Murray.
I mean, you can call him short. Yeah, I think he's on the shorter side, but I think that he's certainly well within the range of
what
you would need to succeed. And that's really all it is. Let me put it to you this way. Part of the issue with Kyler is that most people outside of the league have not done a deep enough dive into him as a player and just focused on his height, to the detriment of their own evaluation. If Kyler Murray was 6 foot and an eighth, just 1 inch higher, I think most people would have focused on his play on the field, and then he would be rightly so regarded as one of the best prospects that we've seen in the last 20 years.
If I could act, I'd be Jeremy Irons. I mean, that he's not that tall.
No, he's not. But I'm just saying that 1 inch is what prevents people from actually evaluating his play on the field. They just get stuck. You got stuck last week. I was trying to talk you off that ledge. It was like you getting stuck in the airport last night, wherever you were, for 8 hours. You got stuck on the height. And then, here's the deal. When you actually go and you evaluate, here's what you see. All right, America, here we go. What is Kyler Murray as a player? Let's talk about it. He was the best passer in college football last year. In particular, on downs and distances and within situations that are the most critical. When you go to the down and distance of 3rd and 7+, it's the hardest down to play quality quarterback in football, regardless of the level. He was number one in rating, yards per attempt, percentage, touchdown interception ratio in all of college football. And yes, I said yards per attempt. Okay, so it's not just him dinking and dunking because I'm short, I need a split in the line. No, no, no. He was as efficient or more efficient down the field than anybody else in the sport. You also go and you look at what he did playing at that position, the most important on the field, in situations where his team was down by one score. See, that's hard. That's when it's pressure. Okay, guess what he was? Number one rating in college football. Number one rating in college football when his team was down by one score or less. That's incredible. See, everyone just glazes by that because they get stuck on his height. But the fact of the matter is, just as a passer, you can take this guy before Dwayne Haskins. Just as a passer. And then you don't even have to look at what he was as a runner. And I think he would be probably the best running back in this draft.
You know,
if he was just evaluated as a runner. You know that he averaged 7 yards per carry, 7.1.
You know what? He's not a running back.
Guess who didn't average 7 yards per carry in any season or during his career in college football?
What?
Joy, do you know?
Who?
Michael Vick. He didn't even sniff 6 yards per carry.
God.
Those are facts. Yeah. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Oh, God. What happened to you?
That was a cold-blooded fact.
All right, let's go to this, though. So if you are right And I do think there's a little smoke here that Kyler Murray...
If I'm right about Arizona?
Yeah, no, I mean, I said this to start the show today. You can't have a split building in the NFL. So there was a split building on Jared Goff. And then Sean McVay said, no.
I see what you're saying.
I can win here.
Yeah.
United the building. By the way, Matt Nagy went to Chicago, split building on Trubisky.
Not anymore.
And by the way, there was a split building on Flacco.
Yep.
And then he said, no, we're going to go with this kid. You got a split building with Josh Rosen. I do believe Cliff can sell this. You see my offense? You see my guy? They need a united building in Arizona. They got a split building now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to be tough moving forward because it takes two to mend that building.
Okay.
See, it takes the Goff side of it. It takes the Trubisky side of it. You're talking about just from the coach's side. And I agree, Cliff could be that guy, but you're talking about a kid in Josh Rosen. There was reports that, all the Cardinals' pictures were deleted from his Instagram, and he said, I was hacked. Listen. America, if anyone says they were hacked,
they're not.
For any reason and their credit card information was not stolen, they were not hacked. That's just a baseline. Start from there and you're good, okay? He wasn't hacked. So I'm saying is I don't know if Josh is going to be able to get over that hump. I think that the fracture is not only within the building, but we'll see now with Rosen. You know, whether he is willing to even make this work.
Okay, you were at the combine.
Yeah.
You talked to people.
Yeah.
What is I think Rosen has some value on the market.
I think he does too.
Third round, second round pick?
Yeah, and I think maybe even more than that. I think Arizona is hoping for more than that. I think they're hoping for something in the late first round, that someone would do that deal. Part of what they would point at, I believe, is that a guy like Jared Goff was able to totally transform his, not just image, but his ability to impact the game in his second year when he got around the right coach. Josh is highly talented, highly talented. In fact, if he was a rookie coming out into this draft, I would rank him number two behind Kyler. And I think he would be a top 10 pick in this year's draft because of the need at the quarterback position. I think he's that good. What hurts him is the things like I was just talking about with his Instagram account.
Yeah.
That's what's going to drive down the value. Is the reputation that he had coming into the draft last year was that he was a little hard to get along with. And then that happens with his Instagram account. And people are going to be like, see, you're proving what we thought earlier.
Yeah, no, he's got a little Aaron Rodgers where you question whether he's the greatest leader, but nobody doubts. Like, shoulders up, arm, brain, great.
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 Great. But, and it can and should work somewhere.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joel Klatt, so these are your top five quarterbacks in the draft. And I do think it's a bad quarterback draft.
It's tough. It's a tough draft.
I want to make sure that people, you know, this is what always happens, is that I have an opinion and everybody's like, oh, you don't like that guy. Like I always said with Baker Mayfield. Oh, no, he's going to work in the NFL. He's just too accurate in a throw.
Oh, really? You did?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah,
maybe you should watch this show more. It's very good.
That seems like revisionist history. I believe the term was undraftable.
For me.
I believe.
I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a tape guy. What's on the tape don't lie. I am this guy, don't lie, Colin.
Hey.
I believe that the term was undraftable.
Yeah, if I was a GM, grabbing your junk off the board. Police video off the board.
And then all of a sudden, now you're saying like, well, I thought it would work out.
He did later say that it would work out.
Joy, why do you defend Colin so much?
You know why?
I do a lot of listening.
We're in a relationship together, and we do journalism here.
All right, you said undraftable.
Two small J's equal one big J. That's how it works.
I like it. I like it. Okay.
Okay. So, let's go to your. Okay. So here's what I'll say about your whole draft board thing.
It's not great.
No, I don't disagree with it. I'm not a Will Greer kid. I'm not a big fan of him.
That's fine. I think
he's Baker without the talent. I get all that nonsense stuff with personality I don't like, but he didn't have Baker's talent.
He doesn't have the nonsense so much. He's actually kind of a no-nonsense guy. He's married, has a child. Actually, I don't know if he's married, but he does have a child with his girlfriend.
Why did he leave the college he was at initially?
I think you could say that about a lot of people.
Not me. I stayed in college.
As a young person, you make a mistake, and I think he was a far different player and person, more importantly, at West Virginia than he was at Florida, to all the people that were around him by all their accounts. Dana Holgorsen would stand by that guy, and I think Will is a really
fine,
changed person.
Okay.
Listen, I think Ryan Finley could be in there at number five.
Yeah,
none of them had a great combine.
Yeah, that's Kyler Murray's the guy. There's only two guys here I want to see Dwayne Haskins in the league.
Yeah,
I do too. I want to see Kyler Murray.
I think only one of them make you better tomorrow, and Haskins might be a little bit of a project, but very good.
Okay, Peter King covers the NFL, Dan Patrick show this morning. He talked a little bit about Kyler Murray and the Raiders. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Someone in Indianapolis told me John Gruden is the worst poker player in the NFL. he and Mike Mayock can talk all they want about how they love Derek Carr. And indeed, they may love Derek Carr. But I'm telling you, John Gruden is very, very interested in Kyler Murray.
Okay. What do you hear?
No doubt about it.
Wow.
That's why, regardless of what happens with Arizona, if someone like gave Arizona a ton of picks for the number one and didn't take Kyler, Kyler's not getting past Oakland. And I wouldn't put it past Oakland with all of their ammunition with draft picks that they have to make a run at Arizona in that number one pick. Like I said, I'm going to be really shocked if Kyler's not taken by Arizona.
Wow.
I'll be even more shocked if he's not taken number one overall by anybody.
All right. Did you have a good time at the Combine?
I had a great time. Here's the thing about the Combine.
Yeah.
Conversations are really why you're there.
Yeah.
And when you're actually watching the drills in the stadium, it's everything you can do to not fall asleep. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's quiet. I mean, you're in this big dome, right? You're in Lucas Oil, and it's like, it's so quiet. It's the perfect arena for a nap.
By the way, when you walk around and you'd mention my name, what do people say in the NFL?
Okay, so your name does come up a lot.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
From
the show
winning
does.
Coaches.
People are like, hey, you know, Joel, what's going on? You know the next thing out of their mouth?
What?
Keep giving Colin grief. He's always wrong.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're calling him as right, we're calling him as wrong.
That's right.
And you know what? I think people really love it when you admit it. Undraftable. He's off of my board.
Hey.
That's what you said. I wrote a book and he's off of my board. The two B's, book and board.
One person supports me on this show. And that's why, by the way, she'll be here tomorrow and you won't be. Because she supports me. Goulet.
It's true. Maybe that's why she supports you, is that she has to be here tomorrow.
Well, we're also only a year in on that.
That's a great point.
Maybe we can all just...
Done with your points, Klatt.
Undraftable.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
LeBron's been the star of the NBA for 12 years. Can't really deny it. Love him, hate him, loathe him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what side you're on. You can't deny he has been the overwhelming story. Now, the Warriors have been the best team in the last 4 or 5 years, but LeBron's been the story of the league. But there is a domino effect that happens even with stars, and it's the big three. It happened with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was the face of the NFL, and then hurt again, didn't make playoffs, got coach fired. Aaron Rodgers is not the lead story in the NFL. Happened to Conor McGregor. Face of the UFC, inactivity, didn't fight for a year, had that weird bus incident, and then gets choked out in the big fight. And he's now, I don't think about Conor McGregor. LeBron's been the face of the league for a long time, but we have two of the three dominoes have fallen. First major injury, LeBron's human. Oh my God, he couldn't even make the playoffs. If he and the Lakers do not sign Anthony Davis, LeBron's off the front page. And outside of Tom Brady, this is how it happens, even for the stars. Don't kid yourself. Patrick Mahomes is now on the front page of the NFL news. Aaron Rodgers is not. 2 years ago, he was the face of the league. Hurt again, can't make the playoffs, coach fired, Aaron page two. Conor McGregor was not only a fighter for the UFC, it's the face of it. Inactivity, weird bus incident, choked out in the big fight, off the front page. LeBron James, two of the dominoes are falling. First major injury means, oh God, he's aging, he's human. Oh my God, can't make the playoffs. Check, check. There's been this narrative last couple years. Stars don't really want to play with him. If Anthony Davis can't be landed, he is off the front page. By the way, Woj today reports that Carmelo Anthony has no interest right now signing with the Lakers. Why? Because Carmelo doesn't think this organization is headed in the right direction. Okay. Not great. Outside of Tom Brady, this is how it ends.